The year was 1984. The place, Communist Poland. The Prime Minister had ordered that all crucifixes be removed from all classroom walls. Many ignored the ruling, knowing that it would cause them trouble. But one zealous communist, Richard Dobrinsky, adhered to the rule coming down from the Prime Minister, and at Mietnau Agricultural College had all the crucifixes taken down from the lecture halls where they had hung for 60 years since the university was established. A couple days later, a group of parents entered the school and hung crosses. They were taken down. And the next day, two-thirds of the school's 600 students staged a sit-in. Then heavily armed riot police arrived with clubs, and the students were forced out of the university and into the streets. Then they marched. They marched to a nearby church, where they were joined by 2,500 other students. 3,000 Polish students that day gathered in the church nearby. Again, the government forces surrounded the church. And the priest began to cry out, "What? Why have you come with clubs?" And then pictures came out from inside that church. Smiling faces of these 3,000 Polish students, and they had something in their hands, each and every one of them. They had a crucifix that they held up high as if to say to the government, "You cannot take these away from us. You will not take these away from us." And a priest famously there that day informed the communist government, "Just so you know, there is no Poland without the cross, so don't try." And that picture from that day lives on vivid in my mind as I've looked at it several times. Smiling faces of zealous young Poles who love Jesus, holding up crucifixes saying, "You will not take this away from me, because it means everything to me." Because under communist oppression, in that darkness, when evil himself, Satan, was taking rule over parts of Europe, there they stood, saying, "We will not stand for this evil, because he did not stand for this evil." And with tremendous love, they held their crucifixes close to their hearts amidst the evil oppression of communist rule. They knew there's power in that their cross. Tremendous power. And maybe that's what Jesus was getting at in the gospel today. Okay, where Greeks had shown up in Jerusalem, it's Holy Week. He'd already made his triumphal entry. Okay, Palm Sunday's next week, but we got the order a little mixed, but here we are. In Jerusalem, Passover feast. Here come some Greeks. Who are they? They're not Jewish locals. And they say, "We want to see Jesus." Why? Because now 3 years into his ministry, word had gotten out. Word of what? Extraordinary miracles. The wonder worker who heals, who walks on water, who multiplies bread. Word had begun to spread. How far? Now into Greece. Those who weren't in the fold now wanted to see him. So they come and say, "Can we see Jesus?" Jesus doesn't respond immediately. He says, "Yeah, we'll meet him at Caribou for coffee, 11 up tomorrow." No, he goes into this interesting dialogue about what, ultimately, what is going to have to happen. He says, "Now my time has come, because they're looking for me. They want to see me, and if they want to see me, they're going to see me. But it ain't what they expect." Not at all what they would expect, but they wanted to see him. And Jesus says, now is the time of judgment on this world, and that means evil, Satan. The rule of the world will be driven out, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. So to respond to the Greeks, we want to see Jesus. He said, you will. Philip, Andrew, tell them. They're going to want to stick around in Jerusalem this week, because in just a couple days, on Friday, they're going to see me. And they must see me this way, because it means everything. It should mean everything. And what did they see that day? The Greeks who came looking for Jesus. Well, not what we see. They saw him. They saw love himself, conquering evil, and doing the most extraordinary thing for us that we could ever imagine. Brutal torture and death. So we don't have to go to hell. And they saw it. Brutal, miserable death. So we don't have to be miserable, even though we suffer. They saw him. Why then, Father, do we not get to see that right now? Here's why, because we are now the Greeks. The church wants us to step back like the Greeks who wanted to see Jesus, didn't know what was going to happen, but entered into Holy Week. We're entering into what is now called Passion Tide. It is an intense time of focus, everyone. Turn your TVs off. Stop doing whatever. We've got a week and a few days where our mother church says you're entering into Passion Tide. Focus. Remember, you're Greeks. You don't belong here. You didn't merit it. You weren't part of the family. You're lost. But you want to see Jesus? Yeah, we better. I want to see him. And then the church says, well, come with us. I'm going to cover up something so that you can see him again. But maybe as if it were the first time. Like those first Greeks. Cover your crosses. That's why we do this. So that Good Friday can be a really good Friday. So that we approach as the Greeks probably did that day and as those Polish students did, tears in our eyes saying, Jesus, thank you. Wow. This is beyond imagining that you did that so to conquer Satan so he doesn't have rule over this world anymore. So you did that so that I can know that pathetic me who doesn't belong here am so loved by the Father that the Father would have done that to his Son if only to save this wretched sinner. We're covering the crucifixes starting today, Passion Tide. I think with the hope, our mother's hope, that we who are under oppression, okay, it's not a communist government. I won't say any other things about the government. It's not great. Fill in the blank. But we're under a different kind of oppression. It's the last battle, Satan's last stand. Because he's still throwing punches. Even though he's been conquered, he's mad. Because he knows he loses, and he's still coming after us. So in the midst of our oppression and our suffering, that we should be like those Polish students saying, no, I have a reason to believe. You don't win, buddy. You're done. And I'm loved. I think the grace we need to pray for is that this Good Friday will be the best Friday of our lives if we can, with renewed eyes and renewed hearts, come up to that crucifix, which we're going to see on Good Friday, where Mother Church says, kneel, kiss it, kiss him, because he loves you so much. I'm going to do this. I haven't done this before. I'm going to take down every crucifix in the rectory, all 843 of them. Let's try something. I think we should do that. Join me. Take them all down. So that in that special place that we're just so used to seeing that they're everywhere and we've kind of forgotten, I think. Or I have. How extraordinary it is. Take your crucifixes down. Let's follow. Let's live liturgically. Like our mother has. And that big one that adorns your living room. Take it down and look at it. Look at the absence, so that on Friday we can acknowledge the presence. Jesus, you've conquered Satan. Thank you. The ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself. And what is drawing us to him? The Father's love. And there's no more beautiful expression than Jesus on that wood, loving me and destroying Satan. That's why we do this, to be renewed in what our hearts can't fully comprehend. But we can try to understand anew that Jesus has absolute power over evil, Satan himself. It's why he went up on that cross. And Jesus has so much love for you and for me, from the Father, in the Spirit, and there's no more beautiful expression than that crucifix. So Jesus, renew our hearts and our minds so that we can hit our knees with so much gratitude that we, unworthy Greeks, can see you, receive your love, and love you in return. Blessed Passiontide, happy Feast of St. Patrick, too. Got mine on. But happy Passiontide. Let's enter in, brothers and sisters. Short week and a half. Oh, so beautiful.